It's to the best of our knowledge. I'm Anne Strainchamps. We've had 30 years of Prozac. So why are we still depressed?
I was in my early 20s, I think it was 1988, and I was having a complete breakdown. My psychiatrist was about to hospitalize me because I was so suicidal. I didn't want to be hospitalized because I had already been hospitalized like 4 or 5 times prior to this. I didn't want another hospitalization. I would have rather killed myself. My psychiatrist said, well, there's a new drug that's just come on board, and it's called Prozac, and maybe we could try that.
And she did. This is Lauren Slater. She wrote the famous memoir, Prozac Diary, and now she's back with a new one, Blue Dreams, the story of 30 years on SSRIs, which for her has been a really mixed bag. I can relate, and maybe you can too. Like a lot of people, I started taking Prozac around the same time Lauren did. It was 1988 or so, and the drug was brand new. I have this almost physical memory of the first time I opened the bottle and shook this tiny green and cream-colored capsule out into my hand. I remember being scared, because at the time I thought it was going to make me somebody else. And what did you think?
I vividly remember, the first time I took it. But I remember better the third and fourth time I took it because I was stunned. I was absolutely stunned. At first, I thought this couldn't be. I'm just having a good moment. But that moment turned into a day, and that day turned into a week, and that week turned into a month. And I'm someone who lived with psychiatric symptoms since I was 10 years old and probably even before. All of a sudden, I was better. And I had to reckon with what it meant that this pill was making me into a new person. I came to believe it was what I called a psychotropic Drano. It cleared my mind of all of the gunk of obsessions and the gunk of depression. And underneath was the person that I was.
What I remember is, I remember feeling like I'd grown a new skin, like I'd finally grown the amount of skin that everybody else was born with and was walking around with all the time. I wasn't walking around raw anymore. I just felt insulated. It was, I can't describe the relief.
Yeah, for me, it was the most miraculous thing that's ever happened to me. And I've had 2 babies, so, and that's supposedly miraculous. And it was miraculous, but it wasn't as miraculous as being cured in a matter of days by a pill.
So you and I weren't the only ones who were having this miraculous come to Prozac experience.
Mm-hmm.
The nation fell in love with Prozac. I mean, this has been going on for 30 years. So by now, it's as though we've undergone this massive national chemistry experiment.
That's exactly what it is. Yeah.
What's been the long-term effect on you?
Prozac stopped working for me. It wasn't like it's kind of dwindled down. It just stopped. So I had to switch to Effexor. I'm permanently on an SSRI or SSNRI booster. I can't get off. I've tried to get off, and it's not possible for me to do. I don't see that I'll ever be able to get off of it. In the meantime, no one really knows what the long-term side effects of the SSRIs are. I've been taking them, you've been taking them for 30 years. We're walking experiments, but the scarier thing than that is that no one's experimenting on us. They should be looking towards us. Our bodies carry the signatures of these drugs, but no one's asking us or looking at us or looking in us to find out what might be the long-term effects. Why are they so hard to get off of? And what happens to the brain if you do get off of them, and what happens to the brain if you don't get off of them. I mean, something is happening to the brain. And after 30 years of marinating your brain in a serotonin booster, clearly the brain has changed, but no one knows how or why.
So how do you feel about this? I mean, from the sound of it, you didn't have a choice. You were suicidal.
I don't feel that I do have a choice. And I get irritated with people who tell me, you know, just try going off of it, because of course I have tried and it's horrible. I take another drug called Zyprexa, which helps boost the efficacy of the Effexor. And the Zyprexa has really, really wreaked havoc with my body. What I feel is that my lifespan is going to be much shorter than it would have been if I hadn't had to take these drugs. Of course, then I probably would have committed suicide. So that's another way of, you know, but I don't think I'm going to live very long because of the side effects of these drugs.
God, what are they for you? That's terrible.
Well, the Zyprexa is, I have type 2 diabetes, and my kidneys, because of the high blood sugar, my kidneys have been damaged. So I have renal insufficiency, which is a progressive thing. So my kidneys will just become less and less able to function. I'm overweight, and that's linked to the type 2 diabetes. My triglycerides are like 800. You can't live very long with triglycerides at 800. I mean, that's poison.
This is awful, but I'm imagining your psychiatrist and your doctor arguing with each other about what's more important, your mind or your body.
Yeah, and it's been, for me, I don't know if it's been this way for you, but for me, the drugs have made my mind and my body starkly divided. Do I put my body before my mind, or my mind before my body? And supposedly, you know, we now know that the mind and the body are one, and that the body gives rise to the mind. But when you take one of these drugs, you realize that's not true. You have to choose which one, your mind or your body. For me, if I don't have my mind, then my body is irrelevant. So I've chosen my mind and a shorter lifespan as a result.
Do you ever, I hesitate to ask this because your symptoms were much more serious than mine, and you really didn't and don't have a choice. Mine weren't nearly as severe. Sometimes I feel guilty because I think I fell for a myth that I wanted to believe, a myth that depression or mental illness really was just like diabetes, and you would not treat your diabetes, right?
Right.
I fell for this myth that I could just treat my mind as separate, just take a pill, and it would all magically be better. And looking back, I think, how stupid was I? Were all of us?
It's not stupidity, because that's exactly what you were probably told, that you had, it was like diabetes and you wouldn't not treat your diabetes. I mean, that's what psychiatrists tell their patients.
Yep.
They tell their patients that they have a chemical imbalance, but there's no proof that depression or any kind of psychiatric disorder is because of a chemical imbalance. What's happened is they've reasoned backwards from the drugs, because the SSRIs and the SSNRIs, essentially, they raise the levels of serotonin. Depression and other forms of mental illness must be the result of too little serotonin.
Right.
You don't say that when you have strep throat that it's the result of a lack of penicillin, even though penicillin is what cures the strep throat. Do you see how the logic is wrong?
Yeah.
But people believe, it's problematic to me that everywhere you go, people believe that depression and other psychiatric disorders are the result of low serotonin, when in fact there's no evidence that a chemical imbalance is implicated in any form of mental illness whatsoever. It may turn out that there is a chemical imbalance, but if there is one, it's a lot more complex, I'm sure, than just low serotonin. So it's a giant myth that we're walking around with. And the drug companies and our psychopharmacologist continued to perpetuate that.
So how do you feel about this drug now? I mean, it saved your life.
Yes, it did.
But at the same time, it's destroying your body. Do you feel betrayed, grateful, resentful?
I feel all of those things. I'm angry with Eli Lilly specifically because they make Zyprexa and they make Prozac. And I feel like they put a drug on the market, Zyprexa, which is so deadly. At the same time, it's worked miraculously for me. But isn't there another drug that they could have made that doesn't turn your blood to custard? Because millions and millions of people are on Zyprexa. It's the best-selling antipsychotic in the country. It's a billion-dollar drug.
And do you ever wonder who you'd be if you hadn't taken any of these drugs?
I do wonder that. I wonder if I would have made a suicide attempt or a couple of suicide attempts, and I probably would have survived them. And I wonder if I would have somehow grown out of the misery that I was in. Is it possible that I would have found a sustaining relationship that was supportive to me and my writing, which was so important to me and that I wasn't able to really do because I was so ill, if eventually I would have been able to do my writing and become the things that I wanted to be without the drugs, and if that would have been enough to hold me. But I doubt that. I doubt that I would have gotten any better.
It matters a lot to me that we end this conversation by saying something to all the people, millions of people, who are taking these drugs so that they don't feel guilty or feel scared.
Yeah.
I want to say something reassuring, something so tomorrow morning we can all shake those pills into our hands and live with it.
What I would say is that I feel, for all of the drawbacks, I feel enormously grateful. And gratefulness is, you should be grateful to feel grateful.
Yeah.
Because gratefulness is an incredibly powerful life enhancer. And I could have been permanently lost in the darkness, and I'm not. I'm very much in the light. And I don't take that for granted. Unlike people who haven't struggled with mental illness, they just take for granted that they're in the light. I don't take that for granted. I know that could disappear.
Yeah.
So I live every day powered by and empowered by that gratefulness. I live that by doing things that I love and reveling in the fact that I'm able to do them. I do my writing, and I have my friends, and I have my children, and I have my house, and I love all of them. I love them so much. And these drugs have enabled me to love. When you're depressed, you're not able to really love. So out of the soil of that gratefulness, so many powerful things have grown in my life. And that's an enormous thing to consider.
I'm so glad you're here, and I hope you're here for a long time.
Thank you.
That's Lauren Slater. She wrote the famous memoir Prozac Diary 20 years ago, and her latest book is called Blue Dreams: The Science and Story of the Drugs That Changed Our Minds.